Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Forecast is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Forecast is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast Episode 81. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Scott Johnson.
And once again, we meet to bring four people together to do four segments about the future.
Is that what this is? Yeah, it's Forecast, everybody. It's a chance for us to talk about the future with great minds. People who are creative, interesting, funny, and sometimes serious. Although I have a feeling today it'll be a little less serious, maybe a little bit more funny. And I'm very excited to meet our guests.
You just never know. Joining us today, Daryl, former tip giver and current Trek nerd on the morning stream and upcoming host of This Week in Trek. Welcome, Daryl.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you.
I'm nervous. I don't know why I'm nervous. I've got two great friends here that I'm talking to that are not going to beat me up or anything.
I know. You're nervous that we're going to screw it up. I feel the same way.
I'm nervous that I'm going
to
screw it up.
We'll try not to mess up your appearance. Also joining us, Alex Gumpel, production engineering assistant right here at twit.tv. Welcome, Alex.
That's right, Tom. Thank you very much.
It's Alex is an expert in spelunking. And do I have this right?
Yeah,
more or less. Okay,
it's good enough.
And waterboarding. So we'll start with
that's
not the torture. I mean, the like surfing kind of.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
We'll
start with a prediction from listeners. This one comes from Tim in Arizona. I was just listening to the Stop Chad episode, and I have to take issue with the prediction that digital actors will put real actors out of work. Speaking as a computer animator, as good as the technology to create a convincing human-like image might get, nothing will ever replace the spontaneity and creativity of a real human performance. Even if we built a powerful Watson-like AI that could draw from a database of tens of thousands of hours of performance, the best acting comes from an unusual creative twist on the expected or a spontaneous reaction that comes in the heat of the moment. This is why, as Scott and Tom pointed out, the most convincing animated performances are drawn from real human ones. If ever we reach the point when a computer performance will fool us, it will likely be 50 years or more from now.
I don't disagree on the time frame, but when he says even if we had a database with tens of thousands of bits or more, or let's say we have trillions of bits of information or terabytes of information of human performance, eventually there's got to be some breaking point where we have enough of that stuff, an infinite amount of that data, that the AI could then begin to improv based on, because at some point you're going to run out of possible improvisations within that scope of data. So at some point the computer will figure it out, or will figure out how to make it do it. And I think that day is still coming. 50 years may not even be enough. It may take longer than that. But I do think this is in the road, whether we want to swerve from it or not, Tom.
Well, Tim makes the point that there's a difference between having it fool us and having it replace actors. Having it fool us is just passing the Turing test, saying, oh, I looked at this and thought it was a real actor, and it turns out it was computer animated. But can it be the best actor? Can it win an Oscar? What do you think, Alex?
Oh, God, I don't know.
A lot of people don't realize Alex is computer generated. Or is he? Do you think we'd ever get a computer that is so good that it would surpass the ability of a human to do the acting?
Well, it depends when. At some point in the future.
Yeah, I'm just saying at any point.
At any point, then sure, humans are going to...
Anything's possible.
There you go.
In a world of infinite universes.
Daryl, you're a big fan of Star Trek and the imaginative use of what happens in the future. How likely is it in your experience or in your predictability for us to replace real people with fake ones?
I think we can, and I think we might, but people are lazy and they're going to take the easy way. And if pointing a camera at an actor and having them just do the part is easier, then that might be what we do. And we might never go the computer way, but I think it's certainly possible.
So it's a cost. See, it's a cost effective thing, Tom. So if we have enough data and it becomes easy and inexpensive enough for the AI just to say, oh, you need a taxi driver who's from New York, who's pissed. Great. We got that. And that just happens that quickly and that easily. And a director can direct this AI to do what it needs to do. And we can create that kind of fluid, organic way of making films.
Hey,
and
how that's come happening. That just made me think of something. How come the directors never get replaced in these scenarios?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Figure that the computer can act. It could easily direct.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It doesn't
Tom
have the...
Tom makes a good point.
The artistic ability of humans.
But if it can get it from a database for the actors, you'd think maybe it could actually get it, you know, from a database of directors. And you'd say, like, what I want this movie to be directed is kind of like part Spielberg... part John Huston.
And then just kind of, you know, combines them together and comes up with...
Yeah, and instead of that being a movie pitch, they'd be like, great, how much percentage Spielberg and how much Huston? We'll program that in right now.
I suppose, but there's there's no flair. It's going based on just data, raw data, not any kind of intuition.
But the question is, would you notice?
Would you notice?
There's some of that, though. Look at the movie AI. Now, that goes back a few years, but that was a percentage of Steven Spielberg and a percentage of What's-His-Beak that died.
Right.
Yeah. And he died during the making of that film or somewhere
during,
near it?
During the pre-production. I don't know if they'd actually gotten to any shooting or not.
Oh, all right. Well, see, but there was definitely a taste of that. Now, that was us. So that was Spielberg saying, all right, well, I want to make sure to retain the vision of this scene because that's the weird scene that Kubrick would have wanted or whatever. You could feel some of that. And then there was a lot of sort of Spielbergian things at the end of it.
Right.
And so in a way, they very much kind of did that thing. So why not a machine to say, well, I want just a little Spielberg and I want just a little George Lucas until he starts changing things. And then we'll bring somebody else in, that guy in. And I think that's a totally reasonable
Or you could say do the opposite of Spielberg.
Oh, man, what is that?
Just make an un-Spielberg movie.
Well, then it would just take everyone but Spielberg in the data list and combine that all together.
And you'd get a horrible, disastrous, unhappy ending.
you would get the 1967 Casino Royale.
Yes. That is maybe the most un-Spielberg movie I could think of right now. Daryl, have you got a more un-Spielberg-like piece of fiction or movie making that you can think of?
Oh, I don't know. Probably a home movie that I would have made when I was six or seven.
I haven't seen it, so I can't say.
The Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull strikes as possibly one that is very un-Spielbergian.
We'll see, yeah.
See what I did there?
Sadly, it's on anything. And they're going to make another one.
Yep.
All right. Send us your predictions, folks. Email forecastpodcast@gmail.com or post them up at our blog, forecastpodcast.com. Time to get into the main predicting. That's what we're here for. None of this kicking around Spielberg stuff. Let's think short term. It's going to happen sooner rather than later, maybe in the next few years. Alex Gumpel, your short term predictions.
All right, luckily, I wrote these down on a list with me. Start with milk and then egg. Oh, sorry, it's
wrong.
I gotta have to wing it then.
I predict I will buy milk at the grocery store today.
So the short-term prediction, I believe, give or take 10 years or so, that Twit, this company that we all love and work at, will be weeks away from a big transformation where we will be actually moving to the new studio down the street. The cottage will still be here. You know, we'll be just, you know,
Wait a minute. Will we be selling bricks at bricks.twit.tv?
We'll have future space bricks.
Uh-huh.
They're like bricks, but they're space bricks.
Yeah, and if we get just enough of them, we'll finally be able to make the long-awaited move.
Finally, yes. Yeah. You know, we'll be just, you know, we'll be all. I mean, there's going to be, you know, 47 people on the table in the dining room out
How
there.
How many occupational and safety and health administration penalties will we have paid by then?
Well, the cost of the bricks will offset that.
OSHA penalties.
We'll, you know, we'll just pay them off.
Yeah,
seems like a bold prediction to me. You guys are going to actually finally move. I know there's video. I've seen that video. You guys keep showing of people building stuff, but how soon can this
That's
happen?
Stock. That's it. We actually buy that from a B-roll movie.
It's just
house.
I stock photo.
Yeah.
I watched that section. Like in Speed when the lady's bag moves.
If you look close, it's the same stuff.
Yeah, same thing. I got it.
We just read. Daryl,
it's digital recreated.
Do you think we will ever move? I just wanted, we need an outsider's perspective here.
I think you're going to be there forever and you will be copies of yourselves.
So it'll be like some
just
sort
like
of
we were talking
generational spaceship.
Just like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
A percentage of Leo, a percentage of Tom.
Actually, that would solve the overcrowding if we just had virtual versions of ourselves.
Yeah, a pinch of Jammer B.
Yeah, we just need to put us all in the sand.
Yeah.
That sounds safe.
Sand people is what we would be called. Also known as Tusken Raiders. Let's move on over to you, Daryl. Your short-term prediction, something you think will maybe happen in the next few years. What do you got for us?
Oh, mine is far more serious than that last one.
All right, good.
I think we are going to see robot wildlife. And by this, I mean governments are going to create this wildlife to spy on other countries or terrorists or anybody or anything they want to. So you'll have actual bugs on your walls which have come in from the outside and are spying on you. So you might have a cricket, or if you see a mouse running by, that could be a robot mouse.
Okay, so you mean animals, not like crazy teenagers on spring break. Not that kind of wildlife.
No, that'd be a bit too conspicuous.
Not good for spying.
But now we're talking. I love this idea. So if I'm to understand you correctly, Daryl, things like a neighborhood cat, might still be a cat. Like, how much of it is cat and how much of it is robot? Are you saying in the near term we're going to be able to replicate animal behavior so well with a completely artificial being that we won't know the difference between cat and robot?
Yes. I think we will, in 5 to 10 years, we're going to have robot squirrels running around. It might more likely be something that flies, like a hummingbird. I've actually seen a video of a robot hummingbird flying.
I saw a hummingbird in my backyard.
It could have been a robot spying on you. You've got stalkers.
But that's a fairly convincing artificial bird. But it doesn't need to be totally convincing. In other words, you're not going to be holding this bird. You think we can fool a bunch of people by having, what looks like a hummingbird flying by or a regular bird flying by. Nobody's checking that. Nobody's going, I think that might have been a robot bird, because you can kind of fool people from 50 feet away. What about like household animals and zoo animals and rats and things like that? How likely is that in the near term?
Oh, I think rats wouldn't be too hard to duplicate. And actually at work we had a
I think his connection just froze on us.
Chipmunk or something. Oh. See, I told you there was lag. I'm lagging.
No, you're fine.
Squirrels are nibbling on my wires.
It did. Yeah, the robotic squirrels are like, shut up. You're giving away all our secrets.
They're trying to tap in.
Yeah. So, wait a minute. You were saying at work you had a chipmunk that was a robot?
Yeah. Well, it could have been for all we know, okay. But nobody's checking to see if it was a robot. They were just saying, oh, there's a squirrel up in here. Somebody better get rid of it. We better get somebody in here and get rid of that thing.
I don't know.
But for all they know, it could be a robot.
Yeah.
And in sensitive places, you might not notice something like that.
Alex, in your backyard, do you see a lot of animals, wildlife? Do you pay attention to them? They be spying?
I can't see. I mean, the weeds are, this tall. I just can't see anything.
So it's a disincentive to mow if the government starts doing that.
Well, I mean, assuming they're made of, hard metal, you might just ruin your mower. So.
Would they be, Daryl? How would they be constructed? Would they be soft and furry if you actually started to, get close to one? Or
no, I think they in the near term they're just going to be hard metal things. If you mow them, they'll fling through your window or something.
Yeah,
see, I don't want that.
But I don't think they're going to be sending them. Yeah, they're not going to be sending them into people's yards right away.
No,
they're more going to be for government use.
Alex has yet another reason not to mow his lawn. I love this. These are all just reasons to keep
they're
that
just
grass
excuses.
Up.
So will these metallic robotic animals be able to reproduce on their own?
Not yet. For now, they are slit.
This is a short.
They will be
prediction.
Slaves of our government.
Yeah. Right. Well, you guys remember the Tom Selleck movie Runaway? I think it was with Gene Simmons as the bad guy, and Tom Selleck had after the whole movie, he's being chased by these little robots about the size of, I don't know, like a matchbox, and it had these little spider legs. Daryl, can we start there and then just move our way to organic material, or is that too obvious that there's a giant roach shaped like a remote control on my ceiling staring at me?
I don't think it would be too obvious. That's more of a
not in his house.
Long term, that's more of a long term thing. I'm thinking short term.
Philip K. Dick always speculated that we would have robot insects spying on us because they're the hardest thing to notice.
You
almost never notice flies and gnats and things like that.
Yeah, there's going to be flies on the wall, as they say.
Literally, flies on the wall.
Literally.
You hate it when an old saying becomes reality. It's the worst.
All right, well, let's move on to our longer-term predictions. These are more the in 100 years we'll be made of cheese sorts of things. And Daryl, we'll stick with you. What is your long-term prediction for us?
Long-term. Okay, this isn't crazy-ass yet.
No,
this
not well, it could be crazy, but it's not the crazy-ass section. So...
Okay, I wrote 500 years for this, but I think it's probably going to happen sooner than that, maybe 200.
Okay.
I think we're going to finally understand how the human brain works, and we're going to be able to build a human brain out of circuitry. So we'll have an electronic human brain that works exactly like a human brain. So... we're going to have these brains actually be more human than us, but not human, if that makes any sense.
So tell me how these brains are. Maybe some of what you said got cut out a little bit, so maybe you kind of said this, but how are they? Do they get around? Are they functional? Are they, how are they, where are they kept? How are they housed?
They will just be computers, but built to function exactly like a human brain. They won't be like our computers. I'm not sure what they'll be made of.
They could be organic circuits, right?
They could be, but I was thinking we probably don't want to hook them up to anything because they could be pretty dangerous.
My point stands, though, when what will happen is if the brain becomes sentient enough or becomes smart enough or whatever, it's going to desire mobility. It's going to desire to get out of its cage, even if its cage is a basement room in some university somewhere. It's going to want to be able to get around. What do you predict its methods will be? Will it throw itself into humans and take them over? Will it take over other sort of subsets of machines and that's how they get around and become mobile and maybe physical? Or do they some other way? What do you say to that?
Well, I think since we made them, we need to have the say of what they do and how we hook them up. Because I think if they get hooked up, they're going to go nuts. And they are going to build other bodies for the other brains that are sitting around without bodies.
Well, and what about cruelty?
So we got to keep the bodies away.
If this is an actual replica of, and works as well as the human brain, then this thing would be, by definition, sentient, would it not?
Yes, even more sentient than we are, I think.
So we have to let it make its own decisions.
Or we should.
No, I don't think we will. Because if we know what's good for us, we won't.
Interesting. That's
immoral.
We have the resident Trek nerd with us who is a fan of all things Trek, including the high... philosophical standards that
violate
show tried the to
prime
reach all
directive
the
somehow, Scott.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So, Daryl, how do you answer that moral question? If something like that happens, Picard would go, "Oh, well, we've got to let it go, number one," or whatever he'd say, and then Riker would walk off sideways and look stupid, and hopefully have his beard. But my point is, what would you do
Picard,
in that position?
In a world where a Frenchman can have an English accent.
But is it right to keep him strapped in, to keep him locked in like that if he is truly alive at that point?
Well, I think our morals will be different then, and we'll recognize that it's a man-made thing, even though it's sentient like we are, or even more so. And in addition to that, we'll probably be scared of the thing, and we won't want it to get out. So I think those two things will force us to keep it in its brain shell, or whatever you want to call it.
So what if they put these artificial brains in those tiny robotic animals?
Then you'd have a bunch of little smart critters running around. I don't think humanity would last too long with those running around.
You know, I read an article in Scientific American this week that our brains have actually reached, they think we, our brains have reached the limit of what they're capable of. Because one of the things that allows us to be as smart as we are, and we can argue about how smart humanity is, but, you know, in some broad sense, we're pretty smart, is the fact that we have small neurons. So we can pack a lot of neurons into the space. We have a lot of neurons for the size of head that we have. Elephants have a bigger brain, but they actually have fewer neurons because their neurons are bigger. If we try to put more neurons and make them smaller, we actually start to approach the limit of the noise limit, so that the gates kind of flip open and closed randomly and there's too much noise. If we try to actually just put more neurons of the same size rather than making them smaller, we start to have a length limit that's, you know, you can't have the different parts of the brain communicate with each other because they're too far away. It takes too long for the signal to get across from one side to the other. So if that's true, that our brains are sort of the limit, is it possible that we in designing a brain, can figure out how to break that limit where evolution could not?
Well, we would do it with...
I think we would.
Don't you think we'd do it with distributed computing of some sort? And maybe not as simple as today's standards, but the idea to me that we would become, or we would push this technology into some sort of, again, another Star Trek reference, but another sort of a Borg equivalent, makes sense to me, because one individual can do some things really well, other things kind of mediocrely, and other things not so good at all. But another human being has strengths in the areas where he's weak, and you start to sort of combine their talents. And if you can get them working in tandem, then you've got a pretty good, you know, better than the sum of its parts sort of situation going. Well, why not, you know, with computers and with artificial brains, you would just distribute this thing and make it become bigger and more broad and more, you know, distributed, for, again, lack of a better term. That seems like the way to turn it into something either awesome or terrible, one way or the other.
How do we make the connection from brain to brain to do this?
Peer-to-peer.
Torrent. That's a great question. Daryl, what do you think? How are we going to tie these brains together and make them even more nefarious than you've already made them sound?
I don't know if we want to, but I don't know if we want to. I think it's going to be terrifying enough as it is to have these super brains just by themselves. Connecting them together, I can't even imagine the brain power and what they would think of doing all connected like that.
Yeah, I call it.
But the assumption is always that they're going to do something terrible, like the world will be destroyed, humanity will be killed, or whatever. Right. Or they'll put us in pods and use us for their power source. And we have a lot of great imagination when it comes to this stuff, but how likely is it really that these things would become not only sentient, but also mean and evil and angry and pissed?
Yeah, if they're that smart, wouldn't they be smart enough to be good?
Well, you'd hope.
Well, how is this any different than, like, all the science fiction stories of, like, a giant computer taking over the world?
It's like, not. That's the point. And that's what I'm saying, is we think that because we fear that, but I think it's just as likely, perhaps more likely, that a super intelligence created by man would be a benevolent servant, really, of humanity. Would not, it may become super intelligent, but it doesn't necessarily go all HAL 9000 on us and stop us from doing
that. Well, that wasn't
HAL's
fault, though.
That's true.
Well, and
it's a bad example.
I think that's a really good point. And Daryl, I'd like to get your perspective on this. It's a sincere prediction. HAL had a fault. We didn't make him perfect. We made him with a fault, and that fault came through and turned against us.
I thought it was that we didn't give him all the information he needed.
Well, that's the fault.
That, okay.
Right? So with this brain, if we make it a perfect representation of the human brain, then it would have the same chance and likelihood of being as good as us. But will we? Will we miss a little bit that turns it into a freaking sociopath?
Well, by then, and I'm thinking we're so far, we'd be so far along in our understanding of how brains were put together that we will make it perfect. I know that how can a human make something perfect? But by then, I think it'll be, it'll seem more basic to us how it all works, and it'll be as easy as building something out of blocks, like, I don't know, like a kid would do.
Yeah.
So it'll be child's play for us to do that by then, I think.
A few people in the chat room are putting forth the idea that morals are just a human weakness, human emotion. Computers would be neutral. But morals, morality, arises from tribal dynamics, from group dynamics. Morals have arisen as a way to keep society functioning. They're not artificial. They're totally natural. And so if we created an artificial brain that works pretty much the same as ours, it would have that same tendency to use that system to moderate the group.
Well, what if it doesn't?
But if it were a replica of us, wouldn't it?
Maybe, but not. I don't know if necessarily.
Is this a nature versus nurture thing?
Sure.
We just have to nurture it, I guess.
It means so much more when you're in a suit, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It really impressed me.
That was the point.
All right, let's move on to your long-term prediction, then. The more of the in 100 years we'll be in flying cars sort of thing. Time frame doesn't really matter, but just longer view. What do you got?
Okay, so something that, you know, I don't like to admit because it might make me sound too popular, but, you know, I'm kind of a Trekkie.
Ah.
So, with that...
I don't think Daryl understands what that means, if you could explain that to him.
So, essentially, I basically subscribe to the Roddenberry ideal of the... Or, not ideal, but idea of the future ideals. In that, in 100 years, I mean, it's still not... We're not going to make much progress, but currently, as humanity as a whole is now, you know, it's... We're in our adolescence. You know, we're just... fighting over each other for, you know, just because we're different, even though we're not.
I was talking to somebody about that exact thing, and we kind of figured we're in our early 20s.
We've kind of got past,
maybe we're 18 or 19. We've gotten out of high school, but we're still, we think, because what it is, when you're in your early 20s, you think you've got it all figured out, but then you keep making more mistakes. Because you're actually not you're told by society, well, you've graduated high school and you're totally a man now, but you don't have as much experience. I feel like humanity's World War II, we graduated high school.
See, I don't think we're even that old. I think we're more like, you know, 13, and just we're still having, you know, just petty bickering and fights for
no we're
for
not.
No, well, I'm sorry, it's just, you know, but so in. In 100 years, well, I'm sure by that time we'll have actually explored at least one or two planets, I hope, possibly still in our solar system, wherever. But it'll kind of give us more of a, more people will realize that Earth really isn't that significant. You know, we're the pale blue dot, and more people will realize that and realize that, you know, none of this really matters, all like fighting each other. And they'll kind of, by that point, we'll start to work more together to... explore more of our existence and learn where we are and what we are, and just working together to make humanity great.
What about the artificial brains, though? Will they be under?
Well, that will ruin all the plans, and and then we'll just be screwed. But if that doesn't happen, I think
so. That's a very positive view, Scott. What do you think?
I'm in agreement. I'm a big fan of the Roddenberry way of looking at all this stuff, and I hope that what we get is what he envisioned in both TOS and TNG, but not so much what we saw in what we got. And not that it was a bad show. I really like Deep Space Nine, but what we got in Deep Space Nine was a much more...
But that wasn't Roddenberry. That was Berman.
No, it wasn't. I mean, he had his hands in it early.
It was the last one Roddenberry approved, right?
Yeah, he died, right? You know, as that was going on. But still, and you're totally right. That's my point, is that was a vision of like, oh, space isn't so nice all the time. There is this weird currency. People are still trying to get all this money and accrue this sort of thing. And there's just kind of a sneaky underbelly to the universe. Sadly, I think that's probably the realistic side of me says that's probably how it will always be.
I'm sure that we will go through some dark times like that and all the dystopian future, you know, things. But after that, I think it'll eventually get better into more of the, you know, not dystopian, the utopian.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, it was the Bajorans and the Cardassians that caused all the problems, not the humans.
Yeah, that's true.
We were making things better.
We're trying to. All Sisko was there. He was just, you know, he was just in his office with his baseball, trying to make it better.
Exactly. But
a man called Hawk.
Okay, yeah. I agree. Daryl, do you agree too with this? Do we have any conflict on this prediction? Or are we all optimists here?
I think we're good on this one. I think it might take longer than we think, but I think we will get there eventually.
All right, fine. Then I'm going to change my mind.
There was a reason that Tony put me and Daryl here together.
Right. No. Well, I do agree with you because I think, and I say this a lot, overall, when you look at humanity, there's ups and downs. But overall, we're making progress and things are getting better. People live longer. They have a better quality of life. You know, and when I'm saying, I'm like, go all the way back, Roman days beyond times when we were, you know, living in mud shacks and wearing, you know, the skins of animals. We may have been happier, less angsty. I kind of think not. I think those people who say like, oh, but it was a simpler time and people were happier in primitive days. No, they weren't. They were just as angsty. If you know humans at all, you know we're going to be anxious about wherever we are, whatever's happening, as good or as awful as it is.
But even that, though, it was still our knowledge of existence was so much more limited then, and we did not know. We just didn't know all these things that we do now, and that's just going to get more and more better in the future.
I agree. I think it'll get better, and as we get older, as society and as humanity gets older, and they get to that point where it's no longer about your crummy day, it's about why is Sulu suddenly running around the ship with no shirt on and a sword? Like then you get to the real business of what's going on in the universe. You're not so worried about your petty issues. You're worried about why, you know, your token Asian actors running around half naked in the ship. And that's more interesting because now we're focused on stuff that is truly a mystery. Mysteries of the universe. What's causing these things? And that's also a part of his vision, Roddenberry's vision that I've always sort of adhered to, is this idea that we'll soon, at some point, get over our dumb problems and be able to focus on ones that make no sense to us at first and then wrap it up in about 60 minutes.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yep.
I think that humanity is going to be on that track and that we will either cause something to out-evolve us and we are the next Neanderthals and we just get wiped right off the planet by something we didn't expect, or we kill ourselves.
Talk about optimism. Woo!
Because, you know, it goes in cycles, like I said, and everything's always improving. But those cycles start to get higher and lower, yeah. And one gets so low, we just wipe ourselves right off the planet.
Well, that would be a shame.
It would be, for us. All right, let's take a break. And speaking of Star Trek, if you would like to watch the reboot of Star Trek, you could do it right now on Netflix, if you had Netflix. Or if you do have Netflix, you can go do it, but maybe wait till the end of the show. We would appreciate that. You can watch Netflix movies and TV shows right on your Mac or PC or iPad. The iPad app, I curl up in bed with that thing sometimes. It's like It's like reading a book. You just pull up Netflix, and I'm like watching movies right there on my iPad. You can also watch them on your television. You got an Xbox 360, PS3, Nintendo Wii. Put the Netflix app on there. Sign in with your Netflix account. You're watching television on your television over the internet.
And I'd just like to point out that during this show, I've actually been watching Netflix on my phone. I've been watching The Cosby Show.
No wonder you're so distracted.
There, yeah,
that's a good episode,
you know,
though.
It's because Netflix is just so great that, you know, it's just anywhere.
Be sure to tell your friends, if you already have Netflix, that they can get 30 days for free. Netflix.com/twit is the place to go for that offer. Be sure to use that URL when you sign up for your free trial. Netflix.com/twit. We thank them for their support of Twit. I hope you give it a shot. Hope you enjoy watching it. Time for the crazy ass predictions. All right. This is one that's really far out there, Alex, and we're going to stick with you. What do you got? in your crazy file.
Put away the Cosby Show. So
Huxtables.
Yeah, I know. This is the one.
Speaking
where,
of crazy,
this is the one where he dreamed that he gave birth to a giant sandwich.
That's crazy.
I know, yeah. But that's not my prediction.
Okay.
So I believe in the future, far off, who knows when, we will send a manned spaceship to some far off planet, on the other side of the galaxy, possibly the universe, and it'll be manned. We'll get there and find that the planet is overrun by human-like apes.
Planet of apes?
Some sort of, yes, like
we
that.
We call it the planet of
and,
the
and
apes?
And we'll find human-like people, kind of more caveman-like, being enslaved by these apes. And it'll be up to one bearded, scruffy astronaut. Wait a minute.
You say that as if there's no other word for that.
It's a little doll.
I don't know. Statue astronaut. Let's call him.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's made of
that
people.
That was our planet.
Coming out August 5th, Rise of the Apes.
They blew it up.
See it in a theater near you.
Those maniacs. Damn you.
They haven't done it yet. It's okay.
Damn you all to hell.
You just wanted a chance to curse on Forecast, didn't you?
I did. I checked with Eileen. She said it was okay.
So, Planet of the Apes? That's
yeah,
all you got?
That's pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
That's Darryl? Crazy ass prediction.
Darryl, crazy enough for you?
That's pretty crazy.
Could there ever be a planet of the apes? That's not. I like what's interesting about this is you're saying we go and we find another planet that has.
Well, maybe they just went back to Earth. They think they're at another planet.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going with the original plot.
He's just going to go right off the page. I like that.
I was watching on Netflix, you know.
But here's the deal. So the thing with the apes thing, wasn't that basically, it's you know, it's based on a book which was very old and a movie that's now pretty old. And the original premise seems like what we now do with machines. It's our Terminator. It's our, I don't know, it's our Matrix. It's just that computers didn't exist in the kind of way that they could have had the imagination to go, oh, what if these machines got smarter and smarter and took us over? It's really the same story if you think about it. The Matrix is Planet of the Apes, really. I mean, they're keeping humans and they all think that...
Well, it's all, it goes back to what Tom was saying of what if something else, you know, evolves over us and then, you know, we become enslaved or instinct or extinct or whatever. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to get your PR guy there checking with him. Yeah, I don't know. I love Planet of the Apes. I'm actually one of the I don't know how many people are excited about the new movie, but I'm totally stoked for it. I love this idea.
Comes out August 5th. I have it in the movie drafts. Please see it.
Yeah. And it's just a great concept to say, all right, well, these primates that are so similar to us in so many ways, there's so much that we have in common and so little that we don't, what would it mean for them to rise up and take over stuff? So, Darryl, I throw it to you. Apes as your overlords and masters, or do you prefer some other way of humanity losing its grip on, you know, being the most dominant species and handing off the torch to something else?
Oh, as untrek-like as is, I think we have to beat down the apes. We've got to be on top.
So, okay, we just can't let this happen. I understand.
I think we'll be out-evolved, but it won't be by apes.
Beat down.
Who do you think by, Tom?
Probably machines.
All right.
Self-replicating machines.
Machine apes.
Possibly robot apes.
With brains that we created.
Watch out for the robot apes. All right, let's move to you, Darryl. One really far out there forecast time frame doesn't matter. Just take the leap. What do you got? Crazy ass prediction.
And he's paused.
Well, I predict that the lag that I'm experiencing will finally catch up, and I'll know what you guys are talking about in about 5,000 years.
It is a anyway. long lag on Skype. I know.
Oh, it's horrible. Well, I had two of them, and actually, last night my wife cleaned my desk and she threw away my notes, so I had to whip up some stuff really fast. And I have two things here, and I need to pick one. So I'm going to go with the second one that I came up with, which
What's
actually
door number two.
It carries out further kind of what Tom was saying, I think we're going to start replacing our body parts, and we're going to replace them with reproduction parts. I mean, we're going to come so far with medical technology that we're going to look at our arms and say, oh, my arm is wearing out, we'll just replace it. My hip is wearing out. Well, we're already kind of doing that, but we'll end up over time, I have here 5,000 years in the future, where every part of us has been replaced by a machine part. So we will be all machine. There will be no human pieces left, and we will be mechanically reproducing, and we'll actually have mechanical DNA also, and we will no longer be biological beings.
Mm. So more, we've had stuff come up where we were replacing body parts with machines before. This has certainly been an issue, but it's more of a augmentation, like, well, this eye is terrible and I really would like to have, you know, a heads up display and perfect vision out of that eye and be able to zoom 50 times. And we're going to get these kind of augmentations the way we get plastic surgery today. But there would be more functional augmentations. Only the rich would be able to afford it. And people would all sort of be walking around with, you know, super strength because they decided to opt in for the super strength arms as a replacement. And that we would slowly but surely augment ourselves out of humanity by, you know, cyborging ourselves up. But you've come at it from a different angle. This idea that we would actually reproduce and create forms of reproduction that would also produce a strange machine human hybrid. Do I have that right?
Not even a hybrid. We'll just be machines. There will be no more humans. It'll evolve that far.
Will there still be death, or will we just keep replacing body parts and so-called individuals will just continue to live?
Yeah, we'll just continue to live and we'll... I've thought about this. I think there will be a built-in lifespan. I'm really undecided about this. It could go a bunch of different ways. But what I've written down here is that we will be on timers, more or less. So we'll live 500 years, and then our time will be up. And we'll still have children. They'll just be mechanical children. I mean, they won't be robots. They'll look like us. And I was thinking, if the mechanical parts that we're made of are made of enzymes and maybe some kind of milk kind of fluid, we will be made of cheese.
So by the
finally,
timers of your life, when you reach 500 that you die, is you mean like just, you know, your thing in your palm's gonna go off and you gotta go to carousel and die?
Well, we'll know when the time is
that one.
We'll know when we're gonna go, so it won't be any big surprise.
Okay.
All right. Scott?
Speaking of Star Trek, there was an episode with David Ogden Stiers. You may know him from such hits as MASH, as a was he captain or whatever he was?
Winchester, yeah.
Charles Winchester III. It was a pretty interesting episode where they addressed this very issue, where they had essentially a race of humanoids that traditionally and culturally and socially had accepted this practice that at a certain very specific age to control population, and there was some other tie-ins with religion and things, they would essentially put themselves to death, and it was just an expected thing. Well, the problem is Winchester fell in love with Deanna Troi's mom, and she thought that was a stupid tradition and wanted him to...
Oh, yeah, this is Next Generation. Okay, I remember.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Next Generation. And that was an interesting... And he ended up going through with it, you know, did the traditional thing. And I don't know why I'm bringing this up, other than to say... that it's a really good episode. You guys should see it. I don't remember how it ties into
you just
the
wanted
point.
To say David Ogden Stiers. No, but it fits into this idea of a buzzer going off and us saying,
I'm
done. I have to disassemble.
So it wasn't a buzzer going off, but it was a biological buzzer in the sense that, you know, he knew when his birthday was coming up, and that was the day when you killed yourself. And that was an interesting exploration of that, this idea that we would have a preset expiration. And I remember being just really affected by that episode. Not so much, I mean, it wasn't like greatly acted or any of that stuff, but the idea that you could say, all right, well, at 50, let's say, that's it. I'm just, you know, you go walk into a room, they inject you with something, you're out. That seems so terrible. Like, it seems terrible to have a heart attack or have a stroke or to trip and fall or get cancer and have a long, drawn-out cancer fight or all these different ways to die. That, but those seem infinitely better to me than knowing the day that it's going to happen.
Well, I would it's because it's preventable.
Right.
Right? The other things aren't preventable, or at least, you know, we haven't figured out how to prevent them yet.
So looming, too. Yeah. It's kind of like knowing you have to go to the dentist.
That's actually, in some ways, that could be a benefit. Because
you know what I'd like, Tom? I'd like random dentistry. I don't want to have appointments anymore. I don't want to know when I'm going in. I just want to be walking down the street, walking my dog, and have some like three or four dentists just throw me into the grass behind some bush and pull.
No one expects the Spanish orthodontist.
Exactly. That's
our
exactly
first
it.
Rule is fear. Fear and gas. Gas and Vicodin. Speaking of alarms going off, it is time for four questions, Scott.
Oh, my gosh. Four questions. This is where we get to ask our guests four questions in a row. These are not the kind of thing they can stop and think too much about. They have to answer from the gut. I'm asking Daryl my questions. Daryl, are you sitting comfortably for four questions, sir?
No, but I'm standing and I'm doing stretches.
Ah, so good for you. That's what you should be doing.
A couple I'm seconds, I'll also. Be ready. Okay.
Here we go. Daryl, here are your four questions. What specific thing about Star Trek do you think was the most forward-thinking and came as close as it could to our current-day reality?
Oh, that last part throws a wrench in it. I was going to say transporters. iPads.
Okay, yeah. Little portable flat-display computer things. I like that.
Yeah, they've got exact iPads. I mean, look at the screen, look in your lap. It's the same thing.
Yeah, you could go home, make an app right now based on the LCARS display, and you've got yourself.
That's true.
It may have a corporate logo on it, but nonetheless, there it is. Exactly. When will mankind reach warp speed, catching the eye of a passing Vulcan science vessel?
In the year 2562.
All right. I have no idea if that's the one based on the story.
Good year for wine.
Sure.
No, but it's out. I think it's out there a little all further.
Right. All right. Quick, solve world hunger in 140 characters or less.
Don't eat as much stuff and grow lots of stuff yourself.
All right. Perfect.
Wait, if they're hungry, you're telling them not to eat as much stuff?
Quit eating as much. Wait, fall over and die. We'll one. Be done with you. Yeah.
Sorry.
I like that. And then finally, if you could bring back to life one classic cartoon animator, who would it be?
Ooh. Is Chuck Jones still around? I don't think
nope.
he is.
Nope, he died. Chuck
Let's
Jones
bring
is
him
dead.
Back.
All right, he's back.
Long live Chuck Jones. Good job.
Yay!
All right, let's move over to you, Alex. Are you sitting comfortably, sir?
It's okay.
Good, then we'll begin. Question number one, when will you bring me my coffee?
I will bring that to you tomorrow morning.
Okay, question number two, how do you plan to use skills developed in parking Leo's car in content production?
Well, I've only parked it once, and I kind of did a half-assed job at it. So I don't think I can do much with that.
All right, question number three, which will we get first? A vehicle more like the Enterprise or a vehicle more like the Millennium Falcon?
Which will we get first? Probably the Millennium Falcon, I would say. It's more thrown together, more dirty, not quite as engineered.
Neither
sleekly.
One of them look terribly space-worthy when you think about
well,
it.
Well, what's space-worthy?
Yeah.
It's not like there's...
They're not aerodynamic.
It's space.
They're not vacuum dynamic.
That's the one good thing about Star Wars ships is none of them matter. They're like they can be as like Slave One, stupidest looking shit. It looks like a boot out there in space, but it's fine. Doesn't matter. No wind resistance.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at the Borg cube.
Yeah.
It's just a big block of cheese.
Yeah, we won't get to either one of them because the Borg cube will come. Yeah. Question number four: when you're 70 years old, you will live on planet of the fill in the blank.
Humans.
Thank goodness. That's a relief. Very good. Thank you. Thank you for playing Four Questions.
You're very welcome.
It's good to have you. And thanks for being on the show, Alex. Let folks know where they can find you online.
Oh, God.
Behind the board here at Twit.
Whenever that is. I'm NLF3 across the internet. I'm on Twitter. I don't endorse following me. Follow me at your own risk. I don't know.
Wow, that is a ringing
endorsement. I don't want
psychology.
I don't want to be responsible if I fill up your wall with junk. which I will occasionally do probably.
And of course, Daryl, we can find you on the morning stream with the Trek Nerd, but you also tell us about This Week in Trek and anything else you got coming up.
Oh, wait for it.
This Week in Trek has not recorded any episodes yet, but we plan to tomorrow, so that will be coming very soon. And I can be followed on Twitter at twitter.com/barebutt, as in
barebutt,
the animal,
like the,
not
the naked, but like the animal, right?
Yep.
All right.
Kind of like this tiger's butt, but yeah, a bear.
Obey that butt. Scott Johnson, anything else before we head out of here?
Oh my gosh, no. Other than it's just a big ball of fun this summer. I'm about to head out to a family reunion, and I won't be around much this week, but I can't tell you what a pleasure it is, Tom, each and every Monday to sit down and talk about the damn future. Me and you and two awesome guests. I had a ball tonight. Thanks a lot.
Don't forget to leave comments on our website, forecastpodcast.com, or send us an email to forecastpodcast@gmail.com. We read them all. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll see you next time. But not on July 4th, though.
It's only 32 years away.
Ha ha ha.